Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio's With All Dude Respect. That's D-U-D-E. It is a Friday afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast. Beautiful day, a little blustery. We have a great show for you today. I am joined by I would say he's probably my eighth favorite person on the planet. His name is Jim Ellis. Jimmy, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Did you say eighth? Like there's seven other people before me? So, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I had to think about it real quick. You might even be lower.
Might be lower? Okay, yeah.
Might be, because I got family and stuff.
Right. No, that'd be a cool show. Maybe we could actually have the different people on the show, and then, you know, we could have a conversation, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Would you be absolutely pissed at me if one of my cats ranked higher than you?
No, actually, I'd be kind of shocked. I would figure that'd be number one. I mean, my wife, you know, she's got Hennessy, or Pooch, number one, for sure, with a bullet. So,
you just dropped to 11 then.
So what is the show about? What do we do? What are we doing with All Dude Respect? This is I think it's our fifth show.
Yeah.
What do we do with this?
Fifth show.
What are we doing, and how did this happen?
It was a conversation between us, and we said, let's talk about things that are all encompassing with the dude. And man and masculinity and everything that is with that, or maybe not with that, or you know, we do have a purpose. Do you have the purpose handy?
Our
mission or our little you should read our little blurb about our higher, it's not even higher purpose, it's just what the heck we're doing here.
Yes. You know what it is? It's to create for the show, to create a fun, spirited, engaging, thought-provoking, and life-changing podcast for men and others listening in, so that the voice of masculinity, honor, and integrity can be heard and broadcast, opening up the minds of an audience willing to join a conversation that matters. And we have a lot of things that are mattering lately with just the way the country's going, the society, all the just the insanity. If you're ever on Facebook, social media, ever watch TV news, you can see, if you follow that lead, you know, you can be led into mm-hmm. some crazy places. But I think there's a lot of things that are mattering lately. Not that it
yes.
hasn't mattered before, but it just seems like it's really heating up. Do you feel that?
Oh, absolutely. I can't. It's like my Facebook used to be my place to go to get some really cool wisdom and get this really cool thought-provoking stuff and, you know, and cool, like, you know, cat videos and food stuff and just checking in on people. Now it's like, forget it. It's just a shit show. It's like, it's literally, it's politics, people taking sides and, you know, people deleting people. I look at threads and there's arguments and it's, but, you know, I get that it's tied into what's going on right now in our country and, you know, in the presidential election. This is huge. I feel that people believe that this election is a make or break for our country, and that's why they're so passionate about it. So I get it.
The polarization is what's amazing to me. And you got people saying, you know what, if you believe this, then go ahead and unfriend me. And which I kind of find it kind of ironic is that we're living in a country where it's been created for dissenting views, different views, and the Bill of Rights, everything is set up so that we can have a conversation and not have to extract anyone or, you know, like throw them away. We could all, you know, have our say. That's the beauty. And now we're saying, unfriend me. I want to live on this island
yeah.
with all my other friends.
Yeah, I have there's a guy that I know, you know, he's in my division. And he's like, one day, he's like, just posted, like, yep, just blocked, unfriended 33 people. And some of them were family members. And I said, wow, that's wild. you know. And listen, I'm guilty too. I haven't unfriended anybody, but I've definitely unfollowed, so I didn't get in that chatter. My news feed is pretty one-sided right now, which is the way I like it for my peace.
Well, yeah. The idea of peace of mind and just staying, you know, centered on what you need to, that's one thing. But, you know, throwing friends away because they don't agree with you is like, come on. Anyway.
Yep.
But so today's show is about the mask. We thought we'd do a show about the mask. We talk a lot about it in the men's circles. Rick and I, you know, we're part of MDI, Mentor, Discover, Inspire. And there's a lot of talk about how men at different times put on a mask. Not just for men, you know, everyone puts on masks at different times. And finding out when it's good to take off the mask, what does that actually mean? What is a mask? We thought, you know, for Halloween, it'd be a good time to have this conversation. And we'll see if our, right now our guest has not shown up yet. He talks a lot about the mask, even at the documentary, you know, that has that in the title. So we'll see if he makes it.
Mm-hmm.
If not, part of the end of our show, I'd like to figure out a way for him to how many push-ups or maybe something he could do to make up for not making it. So hopefully he's okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's okay out there. but if he's not okay, then we'll make sure he's really okay.
There was a great consequence I had with a man who was on my team, and he absolutely, you know, screwed the pooch. In a big way. And I'm like, listen, man. He's like, well, let me clean it up. I'm like, okay, cool. This is what we do. We clean it up. What can I do? So in a really, really heavily traveled part of our office where a lot of people are walking like in and out, like I wouldn't touch the floor, right? I said, give me one push-up. I said, but while you're down in the push-up position, I want you to kiss the floor and then come back up. And you know what? He did it, and the great thing was, you know what, as soon as he did it, I laughed my ass off, and I told him to go get a shot of penicillin, and then I basically, and, you know, afterwards we were clean.
Yeah.
I was like, done? I'm like, you hugged it out? I'm like, okay, cool, man.
Yeah. So just so our audience knows, what happens here between men, and I don't know if women do this, I don't picture women doing this, but maybe they do. What happens is if a man dishonors or disrespects another man, there is a problem in the air, and they can't look at each other. They can't trust each other. If another man breaks his word, breaks the commitment with another man, there is a problem in the air, and it's got to be taken care of. So how do you take care of it? In the old days, like, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there was a phrase. It's gone now in this society, but the phrase was, hey, man, what can I do to make it up to you? What can I do to make it up to you? That was a phrase. I think you see it in old TV shows. I don't know. But it's gone. But in MDI and circles of honor, there's something a man can do to make it up to another man. And we just make up something like a push-up, something fun, something light. Or if it's something really, you know, like he really screwed up, fucked up big time, then there's something more he can do to make it up, you know, and it gets confused. Like, some people think, oh, it's punishment. Man, it's not nothing to do with punishment. It has to do with honor. And it's so subtle, but both men get it, because at the end of a true cleanup or consequence, there is peace and there's trust. So it's rare in this world, I'm telling you. People would rather fight it out. But I know you, Rick, to be
I do that.
It's good at that.
Yeah. Just so you know, I also do it in my relationship with my wife.
Really?
Yeah, we were at a team meeting, and there was a man who I respect and great wisdom, and he talked about what he does in his house, and he says how the word sorry, everybody's so quick, somebody hits you with their car, you know, somebody taps you with their car, oh man, I'm sorry, well, just, okay, great, it's like the easiest word to say, you know, but you just scratched my car, maybe it's not a huge accident, but now I got to look at that scratch,
right.
So. What he does in his house, and he told us the story, and what I do in my house is, you know, if I screw up in my house with my wife, I do the same thing. I said, how can I clean this up? And the first initial conversation is this was whoever screws up and whoever cleans up, you know, it probably wasn't our intent to do it, but, you know, maybe who knows, it was our intent. After that, you can't bring it up again. You can't say, like, in a discussion 6 months later, remember that time that you did? It's a cleanup. It's no sorry. It's I screwed up. I did it. What can I do to make this right in our house? And it works great. We don't think, you know, my wife's amazing. We don't have a lot of issues with that. And, we, you know, I don't even know when the last time I had to clean up or when she had to clean up. But it's, you know, the thing is that the word sorry. Everybody says, oops, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Bullshit. You're not sorry. You're just saying the word.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what you'll see. It's like the actual intent of saying I'm sorry or sorry about that or is really the underlying communication is I want to get out of this. I want to get out of this. So they might as well just say, I want to get out of this instead of saying I'm sorry. So for me, sorry has a lot more to do with like an emotion, like sorrow, like they actually feel something. So if they're not actually feeling like regret or sorrow or sorry, then don't lie. Don't say a word that doesn't match any emotion or anything. Just do something. Like if you don't feel something, then do something. And I think men are more into doing rather than saying something, right? I don't know. It just feels like action is much more important. But I would never do that with a woman, though. That's so that works out, huh? That doesn't get weird.
Yeah, well, no, it's the context that I gave it, you know, I delivered, right? And what the purpose of it is. And again, it's, you know, not like, it's just, again, not to say I'm sorry. It's like you said,
okay.
It's going to be meaningful. If I hurt her, if she hurt me or disappointed me or something like that, you know, it's almost like you said before, it's not a punishment. It's like, it's getting back in honor with the situation or your word or what you were going to do. And it works out good because it's not like, you know, you're probably thinking that it's like how men do it in the circle, you know, square each other up, you know, put a hand on each other. Well, sometimes you square each other up. You're not going to fight. You know, can I put my hand on your heart and put your hand on a man's heart and say, hey, man, this is the facts. This is what happened. You know, this is how it made me feel. This was my judgments of you. And then this is my hope moving forward. And, you know, and can you, you know, drop down and, you know, do it, you know, give me some push-ups or run around a circle, you know, with, you know,
right.
I like, you know, just doing something silly, whatever it is. So
but
we don't, I don't do that with my wife. Yeah.
Right.
I don't do
it's
that
more,
with my wife. I just, go ahead. You got it.
Yeah. It's more like what is the act? Does she actually do an action or does she have you do an action or maybe I'll take care of the trash? I mean, what is the actual give back? If you could say.
Yeah, there's an action involved. I'll give you a good example, right? We went to the beach one day. Right?
Oh, by the way, we are in case you want to go there. So. Go ahead.
Okay, I went to the beach one day, you know, and there's certain things that we're responsible for, right? So we get all the way to the beach, we start unpacking everything, and she forgot the towels. So. And this was probably like real quick after we had the conversation. So now we're at the beach. We have no towels. And she assured me before we left that, you know, we had all the towels. And again, I'm not going to micromanage her, you know.
Right.
So I got pretty pissed. I was like, son of a bitch. I'm at the beach now. We don't have towels. I'm like, she's like, I looked at her. I'm like, I need a cleanup. I'm like, I need a cleanup to get past this. So the rest of this day does not end up you know, just a shit show and, you know, I'm sitting here steaming, you're steaming, you know, or you're in your head, whatever. I said, I need you to right now run down the beach, you know, two lifeguard stands and run back.
Mm-hmm.
And she did.
And she feels better.
Yeah. You know, I felt better because it was just a task. She took it on and then, you know, it was great because this is what happened. Afterwards, it was done. I let go of it. I was able to just say, you know what? That's it. You did it. You're clean. I think I hugged her, gave her a kiss. But this is another thing too with these cleanups. I see a lot of men just be like, they screw up, they drop down, they do a push up. Okay, good. I'm great. Thanks. I'm good. What I do is I always want to make sure that there's a lesson in it and that it doesn't happen again.
Right.
So I said, how does this not happen again? So she says, well, she goes, how does it happen again? And she goes, you know, I'll just be really, you know, I'll double check everything and maybe you can help me. We'll go through like a little checklist before we leave the house and I can help you. I'm like, great. So we actually come up with a, a cleanup. You know, we had a breakdown, a cleanup, and then a solution.
Right. I think if it's kept like light and lesson based, because the truth is, no matter what gender we are, there is a consequence to every single one of our actions. Sometimes it looks positive, sometimes it looks negative, but there's always a consequence. And it's the people who feel entitled that they can do whatever they want. I'm not going to name names like, you know, Hillary or, you know, any other kind of names. I'm not going to name names like that or other type of politicians maybe who are out in charge. If they feel entitled and there is no consequence, then they can just think, oh, I'm not impacting anyone. My life is perfect. Their ego can take over. But if you train your mind to know that there's a consequence, and that if you've dropped something out, if you've hurt someone, if you've broken your word, if you teach your mind that you will do an action around that break, then it mends not only the outward relationship, but it teaches your mind that, you know what, I got to stay on top of shit. Does that make sense?
That's how my life transformed, being a part of Mentor, Discover, Inspire. I remember the first time I was going to a meeting. You know, I was just guesting at a meeting. I was so green. I was at work. The guy's like, yeah, you know, if carpool, we'll all get together. And the guy calls, called me, text back then. I don't think we were even texting. He goes, hey, listen. He goes, I'm your ride tonight. He goes, we're going to leave. He goes, we got to be on time. He goes, I'm going to be at your office at 10 to 6. He goes, if you're not outside by 6 o'clock, I'm leaving.
There you go.
I said, okay. And I said, okay, great. And then I remember being at meetings, and it wasn't like to be there on time. It was it trained me to be more impeccable with my word. If I said I was going to do something, I was going to be there, and that's what happened. And like you said, I never – before that, my on time was 5 to 10 minutes late to everything. Now – you know, I think I've said it before. If I'm not there or on time, men are calling the local police to see what ditch I'm in.
It totally changes your mind and your life when you're so impeccable with your word, and then other people start seeing you in a higher light. You know, it's an awesome thing. Well, I see that on our switchboard. Just so you know, Rick, our guest made it. So. Why don't we bring him on, and maybe the first thing we can do is just, you know, make things right.
Let's clean it up.
No excuses, but stories are okay, but excuses, no. So we got Ashanti Branch. We're going to have him for a good 12 minutes. Maybe we can have him on later on, another show. But he is an agent of change. And he is part of. He's highlighted in the documentary "The Mask You Live In," and he's going to share about his reasons we all wear a mask in our lives and the freedom to live beyond it. He was born and raised by a single mother on welfare in Oakland, California. He took the road less traveled, and as a teacher, he founded the Ever Forward Club, which helps young males who are not achieving to the level of their potential. So we're going to talk to him about mask, about cleanup, and about life. So welcome, Mr. Ashanti Branch. How you doing, buddy?
Oh. I'm doing great.
Have you met Rick?
Hello?
Have you two met? Yeah.
Hello,
yeah,
Rick.
Gotcha.
How you doing? No, I don't officially.
Ashanti, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing very, very good on this Friday afternoon.
Yeah, fantastic.
So are you okay? First thing is first, are you okay? Did anything happen? Are you're good to go?
Yeah, I'm okay. Lots of things happened, but I'm okay. And it was really interesting when you got on and I was hearing the cleanup talk. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to clean this one up. So definitely a new element in my life when I joined my men's team was this idea of cleaning up. So. And I think about when I was thinking about part of how the framing was happening, I was like, you know, part of my challenge is that I often, and my mask is, I always want to be liked. And so I sometimes try and do too much and say yes, and I say yes a lot. Because I like to help and I like to give and I like to feel what it feels like to help and give. And then when I realize, wait a minute, now it's backlogging my yeses because they were all coming out of really good intention. Like my yeses were, not to make myself look bad. They were actually trying to make myself look really good. And then, in error, I said yes too many times, and now I look bad. And so it's like a really interesting step on your own foot, slap yourself in the face, whatever you want to call it. It's really interesting how I have found that happening. And as I get older, as I get more wise, I learn to do it less. But that that common desire to be like, oh, yeah, I can do that. Yes, yes, yes. I'm still learning.
Well, what's awesome about this time is that now you can do it in front of the whole world since it's now being broadcast all over the internet. So that's awesome. So I think you took the first step, which is probably the biggest step, is like just owning it. You know, you're human. You know, you owned your you know what happened. Can you tell us what the lesson is, like really briefly, what the lesson is, and then I have an idea for a cleanup. But go ahead. What's the lesson in this that others can learn from?
Well, I mean, the lesson for me always, and I think hopefully it serves others as well. But you know, when I'm dealing with my own accountability, it doesn't have to be a lesson for others, right? It has to be my lesson. And I think the lesson for me is that unless I learn the lesson of managing my time and managing my yeses and being like clear when I have to say no, then I'm going to end up with the same scenario. I'm going to keep overcommitting, and then it looks bad on me when I ultimately want it to look good. And so it doesn't serve me. So the lesson is, right, yes, you can want to help and do and say yes to every opportunity, but if it doesn't serve you, if it doesn't ultimately causes you to look unprofessional, look bad, look like you don't take your words seriously, then it backfires. And so with the best intentions, could also come out of something that doesn't serve you. So that's my lesson, is that I need to continue being really clear and being willing to say no, even if it sacrifices that upfront feeling of like I was able to say yes. And so that's my lesson.
Sweet. Okay. So Rick, I don't know about you, but I mean, I have an idea I'd like to share as far as an action to give back, like a cleanup. I'll run it by you to see if it works for you. Can you think of another, maybe a young man? Can you think of a young man who also has this tendency of saying yes, 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 and then maybe doesn't show up? If you can think of that young man, could you, within the next week, go up to that man and tell him your story, like what happened to you and the lesson you learned? Does that work for you as a give back?
Well, that's a huge give back, and I'm going to see him tomorrow. So, yes.
You already thought of him, okay?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I can definitely do that.
That's great.
Awesome. Cool.
Excellent.
So I think we could just so thanks for that, Ashanti. That was a great example of just real, true, mature masculinity, owning something, learning something, and then giving back. I mean, my God, it's so simple. I just wish I can't wait for the rest of the world to kind of catch on how uplifting that can be. Since we talked about the mask, why don't we dive into the mask? Can you know, you're in charge of the Ever Forward Club, helps out a lot of young men to be their best. Can you talk about, since we're talking about masks, can you talk about your documentary that was created and what impact it's had?
Yeah, so the documentary is called The Mask You Live In, and it was created by the Representation Project. And their film company, their first film was called Misrepresentation, which was about the misrepresentation of women in positions of power. And their second film was about masculinity, American masculinity, and basically how America's definition of masculinity, the hyper-masculinity, is failing our boys. And so we had the privilege of being a part of the documentary. They filmed us in our work at Fremont High School and at Montero Middle School. And it really has just kind of helped elevate some of our work. And so the idea of the mask for us and Ever Forward is, we have a workshop called Taking Off the Mask, and it's an initial workshop that any school that wants to be a part of our program will go through. And what it does for young men is it allows them a space to kind of get really clear about, am I wearing a mask? What is my mask? Where did it come from? What were some of the roots in it? And when we talk about masks, we're talking about, here are the things that I show the world. When I walk around every day at school, at work, at play, sports, whatever I do, here is the characteristics that I'm showing the world. But then there's also part of me that I don't show. And so recognizing that we all have them, we all have the part that we gladly show the world and the stuff that we don't talk about so much. The question is, where do we have a safe place of taking that mask off? Like, do you have a safe place? Do you have, if you don't, how can we help you find one, or how can we help you create one around yourself so you can get real, so that you can speak about the stuff that sometimes just needs a space to, like, be let go. We need to, like, let go of some of the steam so it's not building up. It's helping our young men build an emotional toolbox that has more than just a feather and a hammer, you know? Like, you know, a lot of, I tell our young men sometimes, you have a little feather, like a tickler, and you got a hammer. But you don't have anything else in your toolbox, so that when a situation comes up that may need just a little bit of sandpaper, you're pulling out the sledgehammer and you're busting holes in walls and in relationships and in your own understanding of yourself. And those are the tools we try and help them build extra tools, so that when they're overwhelmed with emotion about whatever it may be, that they've learned other ways of dealing with it than the extremes.
That's great. I saw the trailer, and I saw that there was a lot of men that were talking about how they keep things bottled up. They have nowhere to bring it, you know. And as a man, you know, for me, getting involved with men's work, I had the same thing. I had great friends, but I never had anybody where I could take any of that anger. Do you introduce any kind of our technology to them, like a safe way to get that out? Like, I know you're explaining it to them, and giving them context, but what about like the push? Like, where they can actually physically get some of this angst or anger out, you know, out of them.
Yeah, we've done a lot of things. You know, a lot of our young men, since I basically found out about the Young Men's Ultimate Weekend, we've sent about 75 to 80 of our young men through that weekend, and that's, they introduce it usually there. Our work is usually an after-school program, so we do a lot of game. We do a lot of game, and I think for us, game is a way for us to really let a lot of energy out. And we know that in a school setting, I don't think there's anything wrong with the push. I think we've not really set it up as a staple in our program. But, you know, if a young man is, like, at the moment of, like, feeling overwhelmed, like, I encourage them to, like, how do you, like, you feel like you want to just yell right now? Like, do it. And I think sometimes, you know, it's the idea of, like, how do you just let them have a biological expression of this energy that's sometimes like holding them back, that's getting in their way. So, not in a direct way around that, but all our young men who go to the weekend, they have that experience.
Cool. Excellent.
What,
it's a great tool.
I know there's some. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is awesome. I mean, I wish I had that as a kid, place to go where I could just like let loose and, you know, be free in my expression.
Free.
I had to write. That's how I became a writer. So what about the times where it is not safe? I mean, I personally believe, you know, obviously you're not going to start screaming inside school, you know, during a test. Ah! But also, what about in relationship? I think there's a time where you really do need to keep a mask on, because I've had experience where I've shown my anger, like really big anger in front of, I said it last week, in front of a girlfriend. She says, she was shaking, like, oh, never do that again. It's like, well, that's not a good place. So talk about the times where it's good to have a mask on, the value of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think when I talk about masks with our young men or with any workshop that we do for educators, I always talk to them in the sense that I don't think that there's anything wrong with the mask. I think that a healthy dose is important, right, to know when to be who, like, there's certain times that, you know, yeah, like you said, it's about being angry. Like I get frustrated about things, and I know that sometimes it wouldn't serve me to let it out as as angry as I really am. So sometimes I have to, like, back it off and be like, okay, we got to just smile this one out. We got to laugh this one off. We got to – and so figuring out when do I – like, for our young men, what I find with a lot of them, the reason they get in trouble so quickly in class is because they don't have filters. They don't have a mask that says, okay, it's probably not the time to curse at my teacher, right? Like, it's probably not the right time or right, you know, right person, right? So I think that giving them tools to be like, you know, I want you to be able to get it out, but this is not the right time or place because this is going to only cause you problems. I think helping for myself also, like, I mean, I've had a lot more practice in it, but for them, you know, sometimes their filters are very low. So they get mad and they start, like, telling the person exactly what they think. And I'm like, well, I appreciate that you were upset, but did it need to be told to the whole class at that time? Could you have waited till after class and talked to the teacher one-on-one, like, if you were upset? Because what you end up doing is put on a show. And so I think it's, like, how to help them know that, okay, so these masks are interchangeable, and it does, and they're not definite. They're not like, okay, you are 100, you have to be 100% happy all the time, but if there's some frustration comes up, how do you learn how to navigate? And I think that those, when we tell them when they come to our meeting, you know, I can usually see a young man, if he comes to the meeting and he got like a grimace on his face, I'm like, hey, what's happening? He's like, nothing, right? Because most times they don't think you're really asking, right? So they're used to people kind of not really meaning how you doing for real. So I'm like, but it's all over your face. You know, something's on your face. Like, I'm noticing something's not good. And then they say, they kind of, I think that sometimes it's like, do people really mean it when they say, how are you doing? Like, sometimes we walk around, we ask people, hey, how are you doing? And we're usually still walking while they're answering because we're expecting them to say, fine. And so then we keep moving into the next word, how are you doing? Fine. And we just kind of ask it in terms of, like, as a formality, as opposed to as a real concern and care and desire to know, I think. And so
we did a team meeting about that. We walked, we circled up and we squared up, you know, each man, and we said, "How are you doing?" Just like you would in the street, and then and the man would answer, and then we'd say, "No, how are you really doing?"
Right.
Uh huh.
And we kept just going back and forth until, you know, we peeled the onion down to, hey, man, you know, this is working for me. This isn't really working for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great. So, yeah, thank you
for that. Yeah, thank you. We only have a couple more minutes left. I want to give your website out. Then I have a question about masks and see if you're all game for answering. I'll answer it first. But your website, if people want to get a hold of you, there's so much more, and maybe we get to reschedule you for another show, Ashanti, but your website is everforwardclub.org. Is that correct? Everforwardclub.org. So check that website out to get in the hold of Ashanti and learn a lot about the work that he's doing with the young men and the mask documentary. The question I have, and we only have a couple minutes left. Is I want to hear, like, what masks do we wear? I mean, Ashanti, you mentioned one of yours earlier. But what are the masks that we wear, and when do we wear them? And just for our Halloween show, right? So I'll share one of mine. One of mine is, like, the lighthearted jokester, right? Just like, oh, I'll make it light. I'll make it funny. You know, it's even the heaviest stuff, you know. I'll make it dark humor. And it's a mask I wear over pain, maybe some anger. But at the same time, what I find interesting, and I learned from you just now, Ashanti, is it's okay. It's like, it's something I can wear, and it can help, and it doesn't hurt anyone, including myself. So it's a part of me that I love and I enjoy. At the same time, it does cover up some other things. So that's one of my masks. Do either of you want to share one of your masks just for the world to know?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me...
Go ahead, Ashanti.
Yeah. No, I have so many of them, I think. I think for me, it's the... this is like, which one do you talk about? Like, I would say for me, it's I want to be liked. And so I think that's what was right at the end of the beginning of the call, which is, you know, this situation that I ran into today, this desiring to be able to do everything and not wanting to disappoint. And I think it's my own baggage that gets in the way of that, and that mask of like, oh, yeah, I can help. I can do it. I can do it all. And then it puts me up against the barrier, and I'm like, oh, now, you know, and so I carry that one, and I'm working on dropping that one off. I'm working on – it doesn't mean I don't want to be liked. I think it means that I need to be more cautious and more more disciplined in my own desire for that. So, that's one of mine.
Cool. How about you, Ricky?
For me, it's just I'll put on when I have to go to deal with the local city where I do my business, and you know I have to put on this really nice guy mask, this very cordial, this very open, I like the mask, but it seems like I have to be almost like an ass kissing type mask when I'm in those situations. I can do it. I don't really like wearing it. That's why I get out of the corporate world, but. You know, that's one of the masks that I can put on and that serves me when I'm doing business.
Right. Yep. Well, sadly, we are already out of time. These go very quickly with all due respect. So thanks, Ashanti. Thanks, Ashanti, for making it, for cleaning
Ashanti,
up for
thank
it,
you.
And then for being awesome guest.
Thank you all very much for having the show. It's been incredible.
Great. Thank you, Ashanti.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right, take
care. All right, Ricky. Well, there's another great With All Due Respect. I want to remind our audience that you could find us on Facebook. If you just go to Facebook, search on our title of our show, With All Due Respect. You could find us, communicate with us there. And have a great weekend, Rick. You got any plans or any great things?
Yeah, just going out for dinner tonight, and then tomorrow I'll be hanging out with my boys on my vehicle, I'll say. That's my motorcycle mask.
Great. And then next week we should talk a little bit about maybe the campaign, the candidacy, the presidency, because we're going to be going right into it the next 10 days.
Yeah, let's open up the phones, man. Let's get some callers. Let's get some pros, cons. There's all sorts of stuff going on now. I just scanned. Oh, my God. This shit is literally hitting the fan.
It is. So, awesome. Thank you, audience, for joining us. We're in the archives.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Talk to you later. Peace.
Take care. Bye-bye.